Welcome back to another scintillating episode of Legally Judgy. I'm Alexa.
And I am Nicole.
You didn't look impressed with that adjective.
I don't like the word scintillating.
Why?
I just don't love it.
I like it because it reminds me of sizzling, and that makes me think of sizzling shrimp.
I wish you would have said sizzling.
Another sizzling episode?
Yeah.
Welcome
we
back
sizzle.
To another sizzling episode of Legally Judgy. I'm Alexa.
And I am Nicole.
Do you feel better now?
Yep.
All right. This is going to be a strong episode, I can tell. Before we get into it, though, we have our bulletin board. And you know what? A lot of our judges really appreciate the fact that Nicole was committed to the bulletin board. I saw a recent post, and by recent, I mean last couple days, where we got a shout out on Instagram specifically advocating that Nicole give all bulletin boards in life. So why don't you take it away, Nicole?
All right. Bulletin board leader right here, bitches.
Oh, wow. So welcome to church.
I mean, there are cuss words in the Bible, too, if we're, you know, getting honest.
Bible
so anyways,
next. Yeah.
We've got our Patreon.
Woo-hoo.
As always, we love our Patreon and our patrons.
Yes,
we
ma'am.
Have our uncut episodes there. So if you're missing out on the
personal
antics
detail?
That happen in our lives, because there are a lot of shenanigans.
Especially today. I got a good one.
Yeah, we had. Okay. Well, there's always shenanigans is what I'm saying. So True. You can hear our uncut episodes there. We've got our community hub where we've got some behind the scenes footage. We've got polls. We've got interactions.
Mm-hmm,
we've got minisodes. So if you want to hear like very brief legal issues that are fucking hilarious, you can catch those there.
They really are funny.
They're very funny. We are often in tears, and you can be close friends with us on Instagram. I mean, the perks are just galore, right?
Galore. Capital
okay.
G.
You can't get enough of us.
You can't.
And so for the people who've decided that they could not get enough of us, where applicable, Gretchen.
Where applicable.
It's very
talking about that tier
where
two tier
of me.
Yeah, super judgies and besties.
Gretchen, Bailey, and Tiffany F. Welcome Ooh. To the crew.
Welcome.
Gang gang.
Yeah, super judgies and besties. We love you.
So excited to have
capital
you.
Capital G galore, capital G gang gang.
If you want to be a part of the galore, the gang gang, the judgies, you know where to find us on Patreon.
Go sign up for as little as $3 a month.
Bulletin board out.
Oh, you just hit the mic. Drop. Oh, wow.
I was trying to make the mic drop sound.
Welcome to church, y'all. All right. Well, that concludes our bulletin board. Now we're about to get into our Patreon-only content, y'all. So if you want to know what shenanigans we were up to this week, go sign up for our Patreon. We got to get into today's episode, y'all. And if you, again, miss out on hearing the personal details about our lives, go sign up for our Patreon. But anyways, we got an interesting topic today. Mm-hmm. I know that you're not a huge fan of T Swift. You're not a Swift T. Is that what they call themselves? Swifties? What do they call themselves?
Girl, you're asking the wrong person.
Marge,
I
you have an idea?
Know.
No, neither of you do.
We're not paying attention.
I think it's Swifties. That sounds right.
Sure.
No clue, really? Y'all are such pop culture fiends. Still nothing.
I know the Beehive and the Navy. That's literally all that matters.
Okay. All right, then. And the Barbs. We know that one.
Yeah.
Know of them. All right. Complete the science. Lambs? Who's that? Oh, Mariah Carey. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Good. Thanks, Marge. Thank Odd. You for that one.
Odd animal when you think about...
Lambs.
How Mariah can be sometimes, but okay, go off.
Lamb.
Whatever.
Marge is all laughing. I don't even get what you're talking about. But okay, so Taylor Swift, we've done an episode on her before. My dear co-host is not a huge fan. I'm lukewarm at best. But we got an interesting topic today, copyright, which is a very, very, very complicated issue. And we're going to do our best to make it a less complicated issue. And before we dive in, we're going to have to give you a little background, mm-hmm. just a bit. And I assume you are not into giving the background on T-Swift.
I'm going to pass.
Okay, cool. So I'll just lead the whole intro part of Taylor Swift, and then you could just talk about the legal stuff.
Great. Here. Can't wait. I'll be here.
She's on protest, everybody. She has like picketing right in front of me with a sign. Okay. So like I said, we've done a whole episode on Taylor Swift's, you know, life and her legal issues with Big Machine Records, Scooter Braun, and basically how she fought to gain control of the original six albums that she put out for all of you, any Swifties, to enjoy. And basically we broke down how she was able to go back and re-record them. And if you haven't gone and listened to that episode, you really should, because legally I do think that one, it was a very interesting one.
There were some interesting topics. I mean, we definitely spent a lot of this episode giving a lot of context on her life. So if you're looking for like an extreme and obscene amount of background on her, just go listen to that episode. Or you can head to good old Wikipedia. I think they're still looking for donations these days.
Extreme and obscene.
Yeah.
It was like 10 minutes. I'm going
to get that put on a t-shirt.
Extreme and obscene. Yep. That actually would be really good merch.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Are we going to write that down in our heads?
Yep.
Okay. But because this is a whole new episode and we want to be good people, Nicole, anti-degeneration, let's just do like a quick highlight reel on her life, you know, in case anybody has been living under a rock and has never heard of her.
I mean, I feel like, you know, she's just a lady who sings. She is a lady who sings and has had albums and won Grammys.
All right. So we'll get into that separately, but I'm going to give a little bit more color for our judges. Very quickly. She moved to Nashville at the age of 14 years old to pursue country music. And she ends up signing a songwriting deal with Sony in 2004 and a recording deal with Big Machine in 2005. And then really from there, I mean, the rest is history. She's had a bunch of albums. She's experimented with different genres of music, country, pop, whatever, whatever's hot for her at the time. And she becomes a global sensation. She ends up splitting with Big Machine Records back in 2018 and goes over to Republic Records so that she could start recording new albums that she is going to own. And because of this, she gets into a bunch of drama with Big Machine and Scooter Braun over issues with ownership of her previous six albums. Again, go check out our original Taylor Swift episode where we break all this down. Currently, she's been going back and re-recording these old albums so that she could be the one to profit off of them instead of the new investment company that now owns all of her old work. And she's doing a pretty good job of it. A lot of Swifties are supporting her in that. And you know, as much as we're not necessarily fans, especially my dear co-host over here, we do have to admit that she's a huge star. I mean, she's sold over 200 million records worldwide. She's had a number of Billboard hits and has won a bunch of Grammys and other awards. So, I mean, we know who she is. And that really brings us to today's episode topic, because as we've talked about, to have a lot of success, I think you also, unfortunately, have to have a lot of lawsuits. Mm-hmm. And here, we're going to call this the start of the shake it off legal saga. You know, again, if you've been living under a rock,
it's a saga.
She has a single called Shake It Off, which
I'm going to shake it off. That's not my Carrie one, obviously. I'm kidding. That's the only one.
Marge was shaking her head no, and then was like, Mariah Carey, yes.
That is the only one that I acknowledge.
I actually did not care for this song, and I feel like I try to stay neutral on whether I think, because I'm a sucker for good pop music, and by good, I mean it's all the same. I did not like this one. It really bugged me. It came out in 2014. Do you want to, can you like help me here? Do you want to talk?
I can do a little something.
Can you talk about it?
I can contribute today.
All right, good.
So the song debuts at number one on the Billboard Hot 100 in September 2014 and ends up spending 4 weeks at the top of the chart. I think she ultimately spends like 50 weeks in the Hot 100. So the problem is that Taylor has actually been sued many times over this song by various people claiming copyright infringement. And of course, before we dive into like the actual lawsuits, let's do like a really cute and quick primer on copyright.
Cute. I love that.
So disclaimer, copyright is super complicated. So this is going to be like the really quick and dirty version.
So complicated.
Copyright is basically a type of intellectual property right that gives people and entities the exclusive legal right to own, use, distribute, and exploit original expressions of an idea. Not the idea itself, but the expression. And these are things that they've created, right? So for a work to qualify as original enough to warrant copyright protection, it must have at least a modicum of creativity, and it must be an independent creation of its author. And so original works can be literary, educational, musical, artistic, etc. Emphasis on the music part, given who we're talking about.
She's naturally a musician, right?
So just keep that in mind. Okay. It can be copyrightable.
Okay.
And then the work must be fixed in a tangible medium. So that could be a book, a record, a music staff paper, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And so music, like the other works that we just mentioned, are automatically copyrighted as soon as the creator puts it into that tangible medium. But to have a more formal way to protect your ownership, registering the copyright is beneficial and basically like often, you know, recommended by experts.
Yeah, definitely.
And so with music, registering music with the U.S. Copyright Office is not necessary, but again, it is highly recommended. And so when you copyright things, you basically get a certain protection under copyright law in the event that you sue someone for using your song or, you know, copyrighted work without permission. And so generally speaking, registering the copyright can kind of help prevent people from copying your work by putting the world on notice that you're the lawful copyright owner. So mm-hmm. like basically it like the whole world can go to the U.S. Copyright Office website, right? And you can see that like this is the owner of this thing.
Yeah. I think it's easier too, because to your point, I feel like there's so many words that we just said. Like if I hummed a tune and I didn't fix it into a tangible medium, there's no copyright protection, right? Mm-hmm. If I go, and that's my jingle, and then someone hears it and they're like, wow, that should be a hit. And then they actually create that on a piano, let's say, and record it.
Write it down or record it.
Well, I lost my shot, right? But, and let's say they do that, but they don't register with the Copyright Office. And then someone else starts that tune again and makes a bunch of money. The original person can sue for copyright infringement, but it's just going to be harder because then you have to prove that you came first, right?
Yep.
Okay.
But if you register it with the Copyright Office, you've got a better defense, essentially, better backup if, you know, you want to sue somebody. And if anyone wants to basically record, distribute, sample, et cetera, your tune, Alexa.
My tune.
They would need your permission.
Please don't.
We all know that you're not making any tunes.
Nobody needs my tunes.
No tunes from you.
No, thanks.
So, you know, note, generally people can copyright lyrics and complete songs, but not song titles. And think of how many songs have similar names, right? Mm-hmm, like you put like what, 3 words, maybe 4 in a song. Like that would just be so restrictive for people who are making music, singing music, whatever the case is.
Right.
And similarly, chord progressions can be, you know, difficult to copyright. And it's because they're not sufficiently original. Essentially, they're like not creative enough or deemed independently conceived by the author.
Yeah, because what's interesting to me is like there's so many components to copyright, which is why we said it's so complicated. So, okay, we got that it has to be recorded in a fixed tangible medium. The other part is it has to be creative enough, because with chord progressions, with musical notes, right? If you play the notes ABC and then you say that's copyrightable, I feel like what's important, judges, to remember is that what the courts and the law are trying to balance against is protecting creators, authors, musicians against freedom of speech and freedom of expression. So they want to find the right balance between making sure authors have enough rights to protect their works and make money off of it, but not so many rights that means new authors, new musicians, new whoever can not then create new stuff that might have similarities, but not quite the same, right? It's like a fine balance, which is why I think copyright is so complicated, because it's constantly just saying, okay, is this copying or is it just similar enough but different enough that it's not infringing?
Yeah, exactly.
That's why I love copyright. That's why I love copyright.
Beautiful summary.
I'm such a nerd when it comes to this stuff.
So to take it one step further, under the Copyright Act, a song is protected if the music or lyrics are more than what could be deemed banal or trivial. And so basically phrases are not always protected, as they could lack, you know, the creativity that's required. And practically speaking, where music is concerned, music does have so many common themes and motifs. Sounds.
Someone gotcha.
Sometimes, you know, sometimes I think that like people used to say motifs though back in high school. I don't think that was right, but I'm just going to say motifs.
If you've been a judgy from day one, you know
that we stumble over our words sometimes.
That pronouncing words is not always our strong suit.
Not our strong point.
Shout out to July, not Julie, our dear patron.
I'm glad I was right.
I wish she would have just lied and pretended I was right.
Okay, so now that you guys understand what copyright is, a common legal claim as a result of copyright use is copyright infringement. And this basically means that a copyrighted work is reproduced, distributed, performed, etc., without the permission of the copyright owner. And it's worth noting, each court has different tests for determining whether a work is infringing on another copyright. So keep that in mind, because we've got quite the scenarios to unfold for you.
Right. And I'm always just chiming here, but I feel like the Ninth Circuit in California and the Second Circuit in New York are the biggest circuits that deal with these types of claims. Because if you think about it, judges, think about who's bringing claims in what locations. LA is the hub for Hollywood, right? We got music, or yeah, we got music, but TV and film, right? It's the biggest hub in the United States. New York, you got a lot of music going on in New York. I feel like that's where a lot of that.
And like the other artists and either, too, the painters and things.
Yeah, I mean, just general, yes, you're right. I'm so like Hollywood centric because obviously we're entertainment lawyers.
Why don't you broaden your horizons and think of the other artists?
I've only been in New York a couple times, geez. No, but that's where, you know, a lot of the arts happen to be. And that means there's a lot more lawsuits in these districts. And so a lot more people suing. And that also means there's a lot more case law coming out of these two districts.
Yep.
So these are like the two hubs for that kind of stuff.
Yes.
Okay.
But they have different tests. Mm-hmm. And so final point on copyright, because this is very copyright heavy, is that the most common defense to copyright infringement is fair use. And this is a legal doctrine that promotes freedom of expression by allowing someone to use copyright protected works in certain circumstances without the author's permission. And so some examples are like criticism, commentary, news, reporting, teaching, etc. Things where we want to encourage people to basically be able to cite and use works without the possibility of being sued.
Right. Agreed. All right. So,
okay, done? Now that I'm done being an intellectual property professor.
You're done?
Yeah.
Because it's about Taylor again?
I'm all set. No, thanks.
All right, cool. So in 2015, Taylor is sued for the first time that we know of. I mean, who knows? There might have been a lot more times, by a man named Jesse Graham, who's, I think, some sort of like R&B musician. At least that's what he holds himself out to be, over a song of his. He sought $42 million in damages in federal court and alleged copyright infringement of his 2013 single, Haters Gonna Hate. So he said that while the songs don't sound alike, and remember, everybody, we're talking about Shake It Off. So he's saying his song, Haters Gonna Hate, and Taylor's Shake It Off are so similar. And in fact, Taylor's song infringed on his. He admitted, though, that while the songs don't sound alike melodically, she stole his lyrics. And he says his song contained the lyrics, Haters Gonna Hate, Haters Gonna Hate. Play is going to play. Play is going to play. Sounds so funny.
Super original. It sounds weird when you just say the words
I'm not going to sing
without
it like
any
him.
Chime with it.
I don't sing. I don't sing.
Any tunes. Okay, yeah. Go ahead.
Not melodic enough. While Taylor Swift's included.
Because the play is going to play, 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 play. And the hate is going to hate, 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 hate. I don't live under a rock so much that I don't know this stupid song.
It plays everywhere, though, first of all. I remember being, like, I'd go to TJ Maxx. I'd go to, like, Trader Joe's. I'm, like, in my mom car. I'm like, I'm not going to Shake It Off, Taylor Swift. Leave me alone.
I mean, it's whatever. It's like catchy.
It's so catchy. You know? That's how pop music gets me. Yeah. Gets me every time with that hook. Okay. He also claimed that Taylor wouldn't. Okay. This is one of my favorites. I always have one of my favorites.
Yes, you do.
He also claimed in his complaint that Taylor would not have written her song without his, Nicole. Without his.
Love that male ego.
Okay. I feel like we can come together in this little moment to be like, all right, Taylor, little head nod. No. Yeah.
All right. I'm not going to let the man take you down. Okay. That's all I got for you.
That's as much loyalty as you get out of Nicole. So speaking of, you know, your real male energy comment, it's worth noting here that in addition to the $42 million in damages that he was looking for, he also wanted to be named as a writer on Shake It Off. And get this, he requested a selfie with T-Swift.
It's hard to take somebody seriously when they're suing you and want a selfie with you.
Oh, totally.
I'm like, what's your vibe, man?
And $42 million, how did you come up with that? You want like a cut of her profits?
Maybe
get
it's
out of
a
here.
Good luck number. I don't know.
Get out of here. And no, it seems that the song hadn't been played many times at all, you know, at the time of the filing.
Shocking.
So there were a lot of doubts about his allegations. And by that, I mean, on his YouTube, the video had, I think, 400,000 views and his channel has only 26 subscribers. And TBD on when those 400,000 views came about, right?
Because we have more subscribers.
We didn't.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, not as many views, but you know what? Do your thing. I feel like it was like him just watching his song on repeat.
Yep.
Okay. So the U.S. District Court finds that it's unlikely that there was copyright infringement here, and even more unlikely that she made the song because of him, and they dismissed the suit. The court also said that he had big problems and holes in his suit, which required the court to dismiss the filing. So basically, there's a lot of technicalities here, mm-hmm. not, you know, aside from like his weak claims. So they say they don't even need to get into the matter of whether there was copyright infringement because his suit was so flawed. And gotta love a punny judge. The judge said that Taylor has, in quotes, shaken off this lawsuit.
Well, for then she did. Yeah. Because Jesse reportedly tried to amend and file the complaint multiple times, but is continuously dismissed. And after his third attempt to refile the suit, the court dismissed it with prejudice, which means he can't file it again. Mm-hmm. But this little tricky guy tries to amend and refile the lawsuit under his company's name instead of his own personal name in 2020. Turns out, unsurprisingly, that he did not do it that well. He didn't name either of the music companies who owned the music initially, which is Big Machine or Universal, and he also didn't serve them properly. We've actually talked about this so many times, yeah, right? Everybody yeah. always complains they weren't served. Turns out
they were
not served. And so in their response, they also mentioned that he never even filed a copyright for the song, which the court agrees is like a fatal deficiency here. I'm not really sure how that was never brought up earlier, mm-hmm. but maybe once you've got like company lawyers behind you, they just do like a bit better.
Bit more.
Discovery. I don't know.
Bit more. Yeah.
And so this gem, Jesse, also fraudulently added a law firm and lawyers' names to the cover page who were not working with him.
So he was basically
he was just like, flipping through the yellow pages and he yeah, like, that one. That one sounds good.
He sees us legally judgy.
Yeah. Can you imagine?
Nicole and Alexa.
Nicole and Alexa.
Yeah, so it sounds like he must have been representing himself this whole time.
Yeah, I think so.
And then he was like, you know, when I amend it, mm-hmm. I'm just gonna add some lawyers and that'll fix it.
Precisely.
It'll fix everything.
So Taylor's lawyers quickly argue that he's trying to overcome the latest dismissal with prejudice, which again meant that he couldn't file again, and filed a motion to dismiss with the court. As such, the court basically decides to bar the claims from Jesse altogether so that he would not be able to bring the suit again as they deem this litigated and decided upon. Again, they say that he still has major issues and that he hadn't addressed these things in his lawsuit. And they also said that Jesse had committed several instances of misconduct, including adding the law firm's name to his filing that was not working with him in reality. And so the judge opines that this guy may be a vexatious litigant.
I like that.
Which is someone who brings lawsuits to aggravate defendants, but stops short of actually calling him that. Mm-hmm. And so in California, vexatious litigants must hire an attorney or receive permission from the presiding judge before filing new lawsuits and post a bond to file a lawsuit, which basically, all in all, prevents people from filing a bunch of like bullshit lawsuits, for lack of better terms. I think the legal way to say that is frivolous lawsuits.
Frivolous, but I like bullshit.
Bullshit. So, sorry to that man. We have not heard from him since, though he said he'd be appealing the ruling.
I'm looking for him. I want to see if he, like, what he comes up with next. It reminds me of Moira from Schitt's Creek with just different wigs.
Jesse,
like,
if you're out there listening,
do not put our names on
what's going on. Don't put our names in your filing.
Don't do that.
But let us know how things are going.
Sign
for
up
you.
For our Patreon, though. Yeah. That's great.
Since you've got all these monies.
The $10 level, please.
Yeah.
So in another court in 2017, two songwriters, Sean Hall and Nathan Butler, bring a lawsuit alleging that their 2001 song, Play Is Gonna Play, is substantially similar to Taylor's 2014 Shake It Off song, and that it all amounts to copyright infringement once again. And let's note here that Sean and Nathan's song was written for 3LW.
I'm getting a little tired of your broken promises.
I hate that you... With her list, you're so shady. She did sound like that. She did sound like that. You're right, girl. You're right. I can't deny that. Fun fact, Sean has written and produced for artists such as Justin Bieber and Maroon 5. Love Maroon 5.
I actually really do love Maroon 5.
Love Maroon 5. Their songs about Jane. Oh, wow. I was going in a different direction.
Hottie, but he's a hottie.
He's really, how tiny is he? He's a petite man.
He's a little man. He's a little guy.
He's a little man, but he's a good looking guy.
His whole torso is like the size of my thigh. Yeah. Just one thigh.
I wonder if I'm taller than him. That'd be cool. I don't know. I'm probably not. I really hoped. While Nathan has worked with artists including Backstreet Boys and Luther Vandross.
Oh, okay. A little flavor.
Yeah.
So Luther Vandross. Okay. First of all, it's Luther Vandross.
I've always said Vandross. Not Vandross?
Luther Vandross, it's fine.
Oops. My mom. Why do you say that, mom? My mom told me that. She loves Luther Vandross.
I am not about to throw your mom under the bus, so I'm going to let you have that moment.
I don't know, girl. You're right. It does look like Vandross. I was just so used to hearing Vandross. Wow, you learn something new every day, huh?
Yeah, the blacks will teach you something from time to time.
Thank you, my friend. I'm glad that you're black and can teach me some things. So specifically here, they're saying that the arrangement of phrases in Taylor's song, would you like to sing it?
Because the play is going to play, 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 and the hate is going to hate, 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 hate.
Great, thank you. Is similar to the phrase from 3LW's song.
Play is they going to play, and hate is they going to hate.
Ooh, I keep going. Now I have it stuck in my... No, ball. Here we go.
Okay.
Marge is all... She's all...
That ain't got nothing oh, okay. to...
All right, then. And cut her mic, please. Marge, cut the mic. Marge, cut the mic. We have an unruly... This is not open mic night. This is legally judgy, scintillating slash sizzling episode.
Oh, sizzling, my bad.
Today was sizzling. Okay, so those were the two phrases. Let's not get derailed here. The two phrases they said were similar. Further, they said that combining the two phrases was original enough to warrant protection.
And again, reminder, they is Sean and Nathan, the people who wrote the 3LW song.
Right. So not only the phrases themselves, but the fact that they coupled, you know, players playing and haters hating.
Yep.
I'm going to make it real Caucasian in here. they're saying the combination of those phrases was also original and constituted copyright infringement. Now Taylor's team, of course, asks for a dismissal and says this is nothing more than a money grab, and in the initial 2017 lawsuit was actually dismissed by a U.S. district court in 2018. And in that initial dismissal, Judge Michael Fitzgerald, and we're gonna be talking about him a little bit because this poor man,
let's call him Fitzy.
Yeah, Judge Fitz. It reminds me of Scandal. Okay, so let's just picture Fitz in a judge
robe. We can do that. That's easy.
So that's the guy. So we're painting a visual for our judges. So we got Judge Fitz, and he says that Sean and Nathan's lyrics are too banal. I feel like that's such an insulting word. Like, it sounds so rude. Like, if I said, your personality is kind of banal, it sounds so rude. Basically, he's just saying, not creative, not original enough to warrant copyright protection, right? Because phrases, they don't count. So if I said, I want to copyright see you later. No, you can't. It's too general. Mm-hmm. You can't do that. Mm-hmm. In quotes, he says, the linchpin of this entire case is whether or not the lyrics play is going to, I want to hear him play, sorry, play is they going to play and hate is they going to hate are eligible for protection under the Copyright Act. By 2001, American pop culture was heavily steeped in the concepts of players, haters, and player haters.
Wow.
The concept of actors acting in accordance with their essential nature is not at all creative. It is banal. He says that short phrases like this lack originality and creativity. And I feel like you really like this. So why don't you, what did he compare it to,
girl? Well, he compared it to, in quotes, runner's gonna run, drummer's gonna drum, and swimmer's gonna swim. And I just don't think that's quite the same, but I'm gonna let you live your best life, Fitz.
Like in his complaint, he wrote that.
It was just but they're all like such like, you know,
Walker's gonna walk, Cougar's gonna
they're like childish, you know, metaphors.
Yeah,
similes.
It just reminds me of like an older man who doesn't understand
culture.
Youth and culture. Yeah, so but essentially he's saying, you know, her use of the phrase haters gonna hate was fair use. And he goes on to say, you know, Sean and Nathan, you can amend your complaint if you want to point out other similarities, because the ones that you did point out aren't good enough. And but he basically also adds that, like, I don't think you'll be able to, essentially. Mm-hmm. We're not feeling too good about this.
Mm-hmm. Well, so Sean and Nathan's lawyers, like, declined this entire notion. And basically, instead of amending their complaint, which means, like, going back and changing things, as the judge suggested that they could, they appeal instead. And so their lawyer says that the judge should have sought an expert opinion on copyright law instead of making the call himself, and said that it was, in quotes, actually embarrassing since he's not an expert in the music industry. They also say that the matter should have been decided by a jury after both sides made their arguments in a courtroom. The judge basically says that because Sean and Nathan allege that Taylor only copied two brief phrases and did not allege that any musical elements were copied, which he gathered basically after listening to these songs, that he is able to evaluate this action without the aid of experts opining on various elements or a jury evaluating intrinsic similarities between the works.
Mm-hmm.
And so as their lawyer promised, Sean and Nathan do actually appeal the decision in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. And as a reminder, appealing is basically when one of the parties doesn't agree with the court's decision, so they file and ask a higher court to either review and or change the lower court's decision. And as a note, an appeal isn't a second try at another trial, but it's basically an opportunity for the losing party to try to raise specific errors that might have happened in pretrial or during the trial. Mm-hmm. And so Taylor's team responds and basically compared the lawsuit to a shakedown and said that it was, in quotes, a crusade for their bank account.
Yeah. Poor Taylor. Everyone's always coming after Taylor, you know? It's crazy. She's always the victim.
Okay. I mean, I agree. It's a little...
No, here, I mean...
It's a little crocodile tear-esque.
I'll give my thoughts, but yeah.
Okay, so the appeal judges criticized the lower court judge for reaching a speedy conclusion on his own without having a jury trial. And they basically point to case law, which basically means past lawsuits that, like, you know, had rulings on similar matters, and say that Sean and Nathan's lyrics could plausibly be original enough to be protected by copyright and that it is up to a jury to decide, but not a judge. And so, no, under the law, questions of fact are supposed to be determined by a jury, whereas questions of law are supposed to be determined by a judge. So to summarize it, these appeal judges are basically saying that there's actually a question of fact here. Mm-hmm. And so, Judge Fitz, you should not have decided this without a jury. The jury should have reviewed what was happening here. Mm-hmm. And so the appeal judges send the entire case back to Judge Fitz, who continues to preside over the case till his say, which is kind of awkward.
It is.
So basically they said, Judge Fitz, you're stupid.
Also,
take
the
shit back.
So cute. They keep calling the appeal judges appellant.
Appellate. Remember that? First of all, it's no N.
Appellate.
Appellate. I thought you said appellant.
Appellate.
Appellate judges.
Yeah. Oh, says the girl who's appeal judges.
Okay, whatever.
It's cute. We're yeah.
I mean, I know.
Been a while since you've been in court.
I know the correct terms, but it's fine.
Appeal judges?
I interned in a district
court.
Here
we go. Here we go.
Did you?
We go.
For a federal district court?
No, and I said appellate judges.
I was just trying to make it clear. Okay, fine. Go off. Appellate judges. The appellate judges. Feel good about yourself now?
Do you love me?
Yeah.
Okay. So after the case is sent back down to the district court, Taylor's team initially filed a motion to dismiss the lawsuit. So essentially she's saying, just get rid of this. There's no point. She says that the similar lyrics share an idea, but not an expression, which is what, Nicole, you talked about earlier. Copyright mm-hmm. protects expressions of ideas, mm-hmm. not an idea. So donut shop is an idea. You have to add words to describe this donut shop. This donut shop smells like, I don't know, delicious warm goodness. Now, okay. Well, that's, I really like donuts. So.
Okay. We're getting really lost right now.
I'm just telling you, I'm trying to give examples here. So, you know, the judge here though declines to dismiss the suit. I think that he basically learned his lesson. And judges, so you know, judges are not huge fans of being overturned, right? They do not like having the appeal slash
appellate judges.
Just like
I don't like being corrected. Judges. I knew it was going to come back here, you shady bitch.
Why am I shady? I thought it was cute. I was telling you that.
Go, just talk.
Wow. Okay. We'll go to couples therapy after this. It's fine. So Taylor files a request for summary judgment in July of 2021. So she tried to get it dismissed. Didn't work. She goes for summary judgment. Summary judgment is when the court makes a decision based on the evidence without doing a full trial. So basically, to be successful on a summary judgment motion, a defendant would have to show that there's no dispute as to any material facts. AKA, a simple way to think about it, the way I think about it is, a jury couldn't find in favor of the plaintiff if the case moved to trial based on the facts that have been presented.
Because it's just so clear.
Yeah, it's just so clear, like yeah, no
that
juror.
That we're not going to waste, basically.
Essentially.
Money and time going forward with this. We're just going to make a ruling right now, today.
Exactly. So this time, her team argued that the evidence gathered during the discovery phase, the part of litigation where both parties are just basically making requests for information from the other side, so they're discovering new information, presumably, over the previous year, strengthened her case. And as such, the judge should issue her summary judgment motion. Specifically, they refute that any copyright infringement took place. And in the Ninth Circuit, like we talked about, each circuit is going to have somewhat of different rules. But in the Ninth Circuit, it's important to note that to be successful on a copyright infringement claim, a plaintiff, that was weird, huh?
That was weird.
Okay, so you're it's not weird. That. Yeah, I mean, that's not untrue. A plaintiff needs to prove that the works in question are, in quotes, substantially similar. And the Ninth Circuit uses a two-part test to determine this, essentially. The extrinsic test and the intrinsic test. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm back in law school, man. I'm getting PTSD.
This is very heavy.
It is so heavy. I hope y'all judges really like legal stuff. Nicole?
Yes.
You're the professor at law.
I'm going to try.
Tell us, what is the extrinsic test? Because heaven knows copyright lawyers barely understand it.
Okay, so basically, two works are reviewed for similarity, right?
Mm-hmm.
And okay, only the parts of those works or songs here that are protected by copyright basically mean they're original enough.
The expressions.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The expression of the idea. The things that are original enough are then considered to see what is actually copyrightable and whether there was any infringement.
Correct. So basically, the stuff that are the banal, trivial stuff, that's thrown out. That's mm-hmm. what you're telling me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. So and we're filtering
it original. Down. The shit that's original, they'll look at and they'll be like, okay, is there copyright here? Was it original enough?
Got it.
Okay, boom. There's also an intrinsic test. I don't really think that matters. Let's just skip over that shit.
All that you guys need to know
we
is that
need to be specialists in all of it.
The intrinsic test only comes into play if you make it to the jury.
Yeah, well,
that's all you got
to
know.
Okay, so back to Tay-Tay.
Oh, Tay-Tay.
Tay-Tay.
You just gave her some melanin.
Yeah, well, she needs some.
Okay.
So her lawyers claim that Nathan and Sean's claims failed this extrinsic test that we mentioned for multiple reasons. We'll break down a few. We won't get too crazy. So they claim that the only similarities between the two songs were the use of the phrases, right? Player's gonna play and hater's gonna hate. But Taylor's lawyers say that these phrases are in the public domain and free for everyone to use. The public domains are like works that are owned by the public and are not copyrightable to like one person, right?
Right.
So some examples are like facts, you know, the sky is blue. You can't copyright saying the sky is blue.
Okay, got it.
Works that were once copyrighted are not anymore because it happened so long ago and it's since expired.
Mozart, my guy.
Mozart, the happy birthday song.
Mm-hmm,
it
mm-hmm.
was made so long ago that it is no longer copyrightable. Everyone owns it.
Freedom of expression. That's what you're telling me again.
Yes.
Okay.
So in summary, Taylor's lawyers say that the phrases player's gonna play and hater's gonna hate are in the public domain and anybody can use them. So Sean and Nathan, back the fuck up.
They're like sky is blue.
Yes.
Got it.
Okay. They also argued that the only other similarity was the use of tautologies.
I was gonna go tautologies.
I don't even know if I said that right.
Tautologies.
Just bear with
that's
me.
That's my guess.
Tautologies are phrases.
You're really enunciating that sound. Jesus.
They are phrases that say the same thing twice, but in different ways. I don't. It's very complicated.
It's like a rhyme. It's like saying, you know, it's just like
hop
rhyming.
On pop. Yeah, Dr. Seuss. You're welcome.
In two different ways. Yeah. Yeah. I'm hungry. I would like to eat right now. Tautology.
Okay. So they're basically saying that they're not copyrighted and that, you know, it doesn't make sense to copyright them. Long story short. So Taylor's lawyers then go on to point out testimony made by various experts that naturally she had hired herself.
I mean, that's the way it goes.
I'm sure they're not biased at all.
Not at all.
And so an expert musicologist who testified that the songs were in different keys, tempos, and melodies, basically to say that like they're different. They're different.
Mm-hmm.
They're not copyrightable.
Support a case.
And then a literary expert concluded that messages in the two songs were very different. Sean and Nathan's song was a love song from a woman trying to convince her boyfriend to ignore the critics of their relationship. That's a very formal way to describe what was happening in that song, but okay. And Taylor's song was about shaking off people's criticisms. What I'm hearing is there were a lot of critics and criticisms, so maybe they're not that different.
Oh, okay. All right.
You know, full circle. And so Taylor's team also claimed that Sean and Nathan's music expert basically admitted that the songs were musically different. Now, no, unclear whether this is actually true. We did see some notes about how their expert may have refused to testify about the music portion of things since the issue in question was the lyrics, right? Like, they never mentioned the music in the notes.
Right.
So, IDK.
TBD?
TBD.
TBD.
So, what do we got going on?
So, December 9th, 2021, just a couple months ago, our judge Fitz, ultimately denies her request for summary judgment. He says, sorry, TT, you got to go to trial. And we're going to let a jury resolve this, okay? He said that while Taylor made some persuasive arguments, the court found numerous factors that met the legal threshold to show potential similarity between the lyrics and the sequential structure being argued by Nathan and Sean. So basically, you didn't meet your summary judgment threshold.
Mm-hmm.
He says specifically, you know, yes, there are notable differences, but significant similarities in word usage and sequence and structure of the song. He basically learned his lesson from having, you know, his original filing or his original ruling come back to him.
Yeah.
He thinks that Taylor's argument related to the tempo and melody are irrelevant. And basically the question is about the lyrics, exactly what Nathan and Sean argued.
Yeah.
So in late December 2021, Taylor does not know how to take no for an answer. She asks a federal court to reconsider Judge Fitz's ruling. People, this is rare. It's pretty rare. She's asking them to essentially overturn his ruling and said that the judge had made an error in his analysis. She's saying that the judge failed to address the extrinsic test, the thing that, you know, Nicole so eloquently broke down for us, when he decided that the lawsuit presented a genuine dispute and that it should be resolved by a jury. Also, she also said that established law requires that the court apply the extrinsic test, aka only focus on the protectable elements. Like you said, only the copyrighted stuff, mm-hmm. not the stuff that's not protected by copyright. Mm-hmm. Because if they did, they'd find that the stuff left over, players going to play, haters going to hate, is public domain. So she's saying it's so clear. Why are we still going to court? She's saying the similar phrases, again, free for everyone to use. I didn't do anything wrong. Mm-hmm. She also says, hey, it's a matter of public policy. If you say that these phrases are infringing, then you're basically saying that anybody in the world, whoever says players going to play, haters going to hate, are going to be what, sued for infringement? Mm. They're saying, what does this mean for music at large, right? Mm-hmm. For such generic lyrics? Because mm-hmm. let's be real, people. How many times have you heard those phrases in different songs, people saying it, right? So they're saying there's going to be huge negative consequences if you don't rule in favor of us.
Yep.
But...
well, good old Nathan and Sean file in return and say that Taylor is not entitled to rehash old arguments just because she's unhappy that the judge is sending the case to trial. They say that there's no procedural mechanism to demand a redo, and they also criticize Taylor's filing for citing media coverage of the case, which has literally no legal value and should not be considered here. They also say that the copyright precedent allows them to sue for copying certain selections and arrangements, even if some individual aspects of the lyrics aren't protected. So where do things stand now?
So there was a hearing set for February 7th, so some days ago in LA, to review this request to reconsider the judge's finding. But we basically couldn't find anything. I mean, this kind of stuff, it's sealed or it takes a while to get out into public record. Yeah. And to be honest, we just couldn't get the documents in time. But worth noting that Sean and Nathan's lawyers have maintained that they don't believe that there's any basis for reconsideration and that Taylor is just trying to deny them justice, which is, in quotes, totally uncool amongst artists.
Uncool. Super professional.
Totes uncool, man. Jeez.
Don't be like so uncool. Remember Luann? Cool. Yeah. Countess Luann.
Oh. TV. I love when she falls in the bushes.
Yeah.
Yeah, just be cool. Don't be uncool. I used to say that forever. Okay, so anyway, if the judge is unwilling to change his ruling, which again, we don't quite know, we haven't found out, but the trial is scheduled for August. So if they do not settle, we will find out soon enough in a couple months. In the meantime, TT is re-recording her old album. She's already got a couple out and she's making that money's honeys. Okay, because she doesn't want to share it with Scooter. Little Scoot Scoot.
Scoot Scoot. One other news, Taylor's fans have been calling on her to pull her music from Spotify in solidarity with the other musicians who are protesting Joe Rogan for his COVID misinformation and use of some racial slurs. Mm-hmm. And in super, super unrelated news, my alma mater, NYU, is starting a class dedicated to Taylor Swift. I'm so happy that it happened after I graduated. Would not be happy paying for this. And it's called Topics in Recorded Music, Taylor Swift. Apparently they're looking into the ways that her music resonates with issues of gender, feminism, class, race, and age, which is like just vom. I don't know what of her music resonates with race, but K.
Mm-hmm.
So brief summary of what happened here today. Yeah. Literally brief.
So let's see. Okay. We've got a couple of guys who are up to no good. They started making trouble in my neighborhood.
Okay.
I got into one little fight. Sorry, I just had to. We have a couple guys who are basically saying that Taylor's Shake It Off song infringed on their own songs. And they basically are trying to go to court and use this thing called the extrinsic test, which the Ninth Circuit in California uses to evaluate whether someone has a valid copyright
test.
Because I want to hammer it home, people. So when you want to impress your employers or a cute date or something, you could be like, hey, did you hear about that crazy thing that happened in the Ninth Circuit with the extrinsic test? Yo, I mean, that's pretty impressive.
What water cooler talk?
I know. Look, if you've stuck with this far, mad respect, because copyright, we warned you copyright is very complicated. And this is just one tiny aspect of what courts look at. Excuse me, I can't even talk. I'm so traumatized. But at what courts look at to evaluate copyright infringement. I mean, this This shit is bananas.
So there was that guy, though, recently who said that Taylor didn't write her own songs. And like all, she got all of this blowback for it. Uh-huh. This would have been the moment that I was like, I don't write my own songs.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I would just go to court and be like, I don't write this. Somebody else wrote it. This is not my issue.
You're right. Because if she didn't write it, then she would have to sue the writer. Getting sued.
Yep.
She wouldn't be the owner. Also, it was a work for hire.
You're welcome, Tay-Tay, for the advice for free.
Tay-Tay. Hey, what if Tay-Tay wanted to retain you as a lawyer? Would you go for it?
No.
What if she paid you like $5 million?
No, I have morals.
You could be bought.
For a private jet.
That's it?
Your that's own? More than $5 million.
Oh, that's all that. But a private jet.
No.
Get Shams on the private jet. Get some boob.
Maybe like 10 a year.
10 million a year?
Yeah.
I knew it was not going to be 10,000. I know you're going, right?
Yeah.
All right. I think, okay, so what advice do you have? I guess it was it that you should, Taylor, just pretend you don't write your own.
You didn't write your music pretend. Just one time.
Or tell
so
the
we
truth
never have to
it.
Talk about copyright and the extrinsic tests again. Please, please lie, Taylor.
You like copyright.
No, I don't.
You really don't?
I don't. I have no interest.
You're an entertainment lawyer.
Okay.
Okay, then. Settled. my advice is, if you're going to sue for copyright infringement, let's not go out with guns blazing like $45 million, okay? Jesse Graham, like, I feel like that was already really aggressive. And then don't ask to take a selfie with the person that you're suing, because no one's going to take you seriously, okay? Yeah. It just seems like you want to get to see her in court, and that's not cool.
Yeah.
All right?
I think that's right.
Okay.
Moving on.
Yeah, let's move on. We got a Q&A. We were asked by a judgy, how much work does it take for your podcast? Question mark. Time? Question mark. Money? Question mark.
A lot. All of the things. Okay, let's break it down.
Yep.
So work and time-wise, we spend a lot of the days of each week preparing for the episode. So, you know, we are not, as much as people think that we are experts in everything, we are not. And so we have to spend a lot of time researching and understanding the issues and the law behind the issues. And so the vast majority of the week we research, mm-hmm. we obviously record one day, and then the last day of the week we have to like listen and make sure we don't sound like complete fucking idiots.
That's always nice. Yeah. And we have producer Marge to really help us out with that.
Yeah.
Heaven knows how many outtakes that woman has. She can definitely blackmail us.
Yeah.
If she wants to.
For sure.
With all the things we've done.
For sure. So a lot of time. Money, yeah. I've stopped counting. That's your thing.
Yeah. Couple thou. It's a little painful. So
is that it?
Come pay for our Patreon. Hey, Tay-Tay, if you want to give us that 10 mil, that'd be super helpful. No, but it's worth noting. Yeah, I think what we've talked about in general, though, is that the two of us really complement each other, because you're very good at looking at like big picture stuff, the macro, I call it. And so just fun fact here, Nicole always starts writing our outlines first, because we outline these episodes. And then when she's done, I'll go in and add details, because your girls get stuck in the weeds
so
all
in the
time.
Weeds. I literally sometimes I go back in and I'm like, what it just happened? How did we get this far down
it
a
gets
rabbit
so
hole?
Fun. But I add a lot of the little details. Like, you're so good at giving us the bones, I would say, like the map. And then I'm going to be like, I'm going to color in some trees here, some bushes there. This guy needs a stop sign, right? Like the things that I like that I think like would make a fun story, essentially.
Yeah.
But I do nerd out on copyright.
You're
so
a nerd. You're
I didn't add too much on this one, though.
No, you added a lot.
No, I didn't.
FYI peeps, we cut out quite a bit.
I did not add that
turned
much
into law school.
Your stuff was a lot already.
And I hated that I had to
do
that.
I rephrased it. Anyway, let's move on.
Okay.
We're about to go into our Patreon-only content. So if you want to get to know us a little bit more, you want to know what this mysterious Patreon-only segment is, go sign up, okay? Okay. And that concludes our Patreon-only section. That was a fun one. It was a new segment we've never done before.
It got deep.
We had some laughs. We had some cries. We embraced, mm-hmm. we punched. Mm-hmm. It was a good time.
Yep.
So tell your friends about us. We know that this was a copyright focused episode. We hope that the nerdy legalese parts of you guys were scintillated today. Mm-hmm. I did warn you it was going to be scintillating. Mm-hmm. Okay. I did.
Tell your coworkers.
Tell everybody.
Tell your boss.
Tell everybody.
Tell
everybody.
Just literally everyone that you know.
Your pets.
There's no... If they've got accounts.
If they have an iPod.
Yeah.
Do iPods exist anymore? No.
I don't know.
They can't sell iPods anymore.
I don't think
Who needs an iPod?
Why would you need that if you have an iPhone?
If you do have an iPod...
iPod.
go sign up for a Patreon. You need more entertainment in your life. All right. Well, thanks for tuning in today's episode of Legally Judgy. We hope you enjoyed listening to us talk as much as we love the sound of our own voices.
If you did, please subscribe, rate, and leave us a review. Also, join us on our Patreon for more judgy shits and giggles. Until next time.
Bye.